You are listening to our verse-by-verse Revelation MP3 series, a presentation of Victory in Grace.
We're talking Revelation. We're in 16, start verse 17. And hold tight to your little island. I realize that's kind of a little strange message, title. But it said what I wanted it to say. You know, we're so materialistic. We're so worried about that we have this and have that. And you, if you watch people looking at homes on TV, house hunters, and they'll say, well, that kitchen is dated. Don't you like that one? It's dated. You say, well, I'd like to take you to India and I'll show you something that's dated. I had to go to a dump the other day. Have you ever been to a dump lately? Man, it's an experience. Smells good, too. And the stuff we throw away makes me sick. They're throwing away lumber that was good lumber. And they're throwing away stuff that is just good stuff. And everything in me wanted to bring it home, but I don't want to be the next hoarder. So I didn't, but my goodness, what we're wasting in this country. Can you imagine what we're wasting? And everybody, you know, wants to do this, wants to do that. It's not wrong to have things. You know, there are rich people in the Bible. That's not wrong. It's wrong when things have us. Hold on to your little island because it's not going to be there. You'll see what I mean later. Point one, it's over. You know, twice in the Bible said it is done. It is finished. The word done means finished. Twice he uttered it on the cross. When he's hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Same word here. Only two times in the whole Bible. Okay, let's look. In verse 17 of Revelation 16, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It is done. You know, God's going to deal with all the nations of the world through that little tiny country, Israel. You know, God said, I'll bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee. Now, listen, I love Arab people. I love them. And I'll tell you something, you can't tell the difference in an Arab child and an Israeli child. I've been to Israel, as you know, many, many times, over 20 times. I know Israel, and I love them both, but God gave the land to Israel. He gave it to them. God did it. Now, listen. If you think that we are going to overrule God, you know, we think, oh, but we don't need God. We don't need God. Listen, God's still in charge. You may not think it. The news people may not believe it, but God is still in charge. And God's going to deal with all the nations through Israel. And you see it happening. Everything in the Word of God, you know, when this tribulation period comes, and this is pretty scary stuff, isn't it? This is, you know, but before all this happens, those that are born again. Now, what do you mean by born again? Those that have put their trust in Christ, not their church. Listen, when the rapture comes, there'll be some from every church go. There's some saved in every church. But some churches will hardly have anybody go. Some churches will meet the next Sunday. And they'll say, man, isn't it good all those fanatical Christians are out of here? Those conservative Christians, aren't you glad they're gone? They're gone. They're out. And we'll be up into heaven. That's called the rapture of the church. And then we have the 7 years. The first 3.5 is not as bad. It looks like we now have the world government. We have the world church. We have the world currency. Do you see how all this is happening? Right now, would you have ever believed that Greece and Spain and all these other countries are in such bad condition right now? And they won't stop spending just like us. Just go ahead and spend. Go ahead and write the checks. It's awful when these disasters happen. But can we bail out everything? Are we so great that we no longer need to worry about money? But see, you see it all happening. And there's going to be a world church. Here's what I think it'll be. I think it'll be the unsaved Catholics, the unsaved Protestant, and I think it'll be the Muslims. They're going to unite together. He said, that'll never happen. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Now, I can't prove that.
what I just said. But I believe it'll happen. And there'll be a one-world church without Christ. It's called the false church. Now, this coming Sunday, next Sunday, I'm going to deal with that in great detail. I'm going to deal with the fake church. God calls it the great prostitute. It's what he calls the church. And it will be dealt with. It'll be dealt with severely. It'll be really hard. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil wants to devour you as a Christian. You say, "Can I lose my salvation?" When you trust Christ on the cross, he paid all your sins, past, present, and future. No, you can't, but you can lose your fellowship, your dedication, your discipleship, your rewards. And the devil wants to devour you. He says, "Be vigilant, have your eyes open." The adversary, he's the devil. He's out to get us, a roaring lion. Walketh about whom he may devour. I've heard a lot of preachers say, but he's a lion without teeth. And that may be true, but boy, I tell you, those gums are pretty tough. You know, there were two businessmen that were going to travel the world. Wealthy businessmen. And the preacher told them before they left, "I want you to take a picture that you think most shows the other parts of the world." And this guy, a big merchant, he sees two guys out in the field. He sees a son and a dad. And they were taking turns pulling the plow. Now, some of you have never seen anything like that. I shouldn't say this, but I saw it even in my home state of Kentucky. I saw it. Now, this one I agree with. The man had his wife out there pulling the plow. He really did. No, I don't agree with it. I'm just joking. But she was pulling it, and he was behind the plow. I looked at that, and I looked at my wife. I said, she said, "Don't even think it. I'm not pulling the plow." He said, "Boy, they must be poor." And the preacher was with him said, "No, they don't think it that way. You know, we just built a church, and they had one oxen. That's all they had. And they gave that oxen, sold it, so they could give it to the church." Well, that must have been quite a sacrifice. They don't look at it that way. They said it's the greatest blessing they ever had to have an oxen that they could sell to give to their church. The man went home and told his pastor, he says, "I haven't been given much. I haven't been doing much. I want to do more because I've never given till it hurts." It's a true story. Well, here we have a point in history that's so drastic that everything in history changes. You hear people say, "Well, I want to live in history." You're not going to live in history. No one's going to live in history because there's not going to be any history except what we did for Christ. Now, that's the truth. Now, you say, "I don't agree." Well, you've got a right not to agree with that, but that's the truth. You're not going to live in history. Richard Nixon's biggest thing he said all the time, he said, "History will judge me differently." No, the only one's going to judge you is Christ. History's not going to judge you. You don't get judged by something that doesn't live. You don't get judged by dead stuff. You don't. History's not going to judge you. It's impossible. We're going to see anarchy and confusion reign supreme. This, you know, we've seen the Battle of Armageddon come and all the nations come to destroy Israel. This anti-Semitic. Israel attacks a ship that's coming and breaking their blockade. And everybody's against Israel. All these other countries have things 1,000 times worse. And you don't hear a word. You don't hear a word. Anti-Semites. They're against Israel. Why are they against Israel? Because Israel was the one that brought the Christ child. Israel is the one that was God's chosen people. Israel is that little piece of property, so small that most people can't find it on a map. The only way I can always find it is knowing that it connects three continents. It's the land bridge. It's the land of Israel. And everybody's always wanted it. Napoleon said, and what a statement, of all the places he's ever seen, there's no place more suited than the Valley of Jezreel. Megiddo. used to be called the Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. No place more suited to have the biggest battle ever. Israel, and everybody's against it. And now when the U.S. starts turning against Israel, listen, I'll bless those that bless thee, I'll curse these that curse thee. Why have we been blessed as a nation? I'll tell you one of the main reasons, too. One is we send out more missionaries than any other country in the world. Two is we support Israel. The minute that support of Israel wanes, what a problem we're going to have. I bless those that bless thee. I'll curse those that curse thee. And God's word is always true, whether we want to believe it or not. It is always true. Today, the world ignores God. The world doesn't believe anything to do with God. The world just says, hey, we don't need God. We don't need God in the schools. You know, they were going to run something against the Mohammed and took it off. Now they're going to run something against the Christian and they don't take it off. Why are we so persecuted? I'll tell you why. Because the devil hates us. Because what we are is truth. It's truth. Well, what did it mean, into the air? The Greek, it actually means that he poured onto the air, on the air. See, John's looking down not from the earth, he's looking down from heaven, and he sees it being poured on the air with the bowls. Well, what does that mean? Why does he say that? Because the devil is the prince and power of the air. We don't understand it all, but the devil's prince and power of the air, and he pours it out on, not just in the air, onto the air. There, every nook and cranny that the devil has tried to hide in is going to be gone. This is the final judgment. The final judgment. We were out in L.A. after their last earthquake, and they're rebuilding the bridges, and they're doing all this stuff. And you just look at them and say, why are you rebuilding? Just let it get boats and float the river. Because it's going to happen again. But the earthquake that's coming is going to make the others look like nothing. Look like nothing. The greatest tragedy you could ever imagine. So here it is. He's pouring it out. Why is it so important? Why is this so important? Because the devil can't hide anymore. Look at Ephesians 2:2 in your verse sheet. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Some say this sure fits a nuclear explosion, nuclear war, doesn't it? We can't imagine that kind of stuff. There's no specific geographical location. This takes in everything. It takes in everything. The temple has been mentioned again and again with the wrath, the trumpets, the seals. But here, with the bowls of wrath, it's mentioned six times more than any other. But then the temple's gone. Why? Because with Christ, we don't need a temple. The church will not be here. The church will be raptured. Remember back here? The rapture of the church takes place. All those that from the time of Christ, after the cross, to the rapture, will be raptured because it's called the body of Christ. Next week, Israel was called the wife of Jehovah. We're called the bride of Christ. Next week, we're going to talk about a mystery. And the church was a mystery. Nobody in the Old Testament understood it. Not until Ephesians chapter 3 did the mystery ever come up. And the mystery was, a mystery is not like a mystery novel. A mystery in the Greek language means something not revealed before. No one understood it before. No one understood this evil, false church before. And it's revealed in Revelation 17. And this mystery was the church. See, there's 70 weeks determined upon Daniel. I don't have time to get into it. But we can go to the very day that Christ came the first time. And then there's 7 years. That's a tribulation. The 69th week and the 70th week are separated by the church age. When the church is raptured, then God goes back to dealing directly with the Jews. Now, you're neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Then he goes back and deals with the Jews. And the Jews have to be in the land. Isn't that amazing? No country in the face of all of history has ever gone back, even after a year. Jewish people in almost 2,000 years came back. Because God said to be back. They're most hated, which is so wrong. It's so wrong. I tell you what, to ignore the Jewish prime minister is one of the worst things that could ever have been done. Especially a patriot, a man who risked his life, a man who's wounded. It's an awful thing. An awful thing. But here's Israel, back in the land. Church is taken out. That's all those that are born again. You say, what are you talking about, born again? See, the difference is, you can be a member of a church. That does not get you to heaven. Christ said in John chapter 3, he said, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I know that's become political. And I know a lot of these, quote, TV preachers have ruined it by saying that term. And it's become political. But it's still biblical. And if you're not born again, you don't go to heaven. You've got to have a new birth. It's not that you still can't be whatever you are, but you have to be born again. And if you're not born again, you can't go to heaven. And you're going to have to go through the tribulation. I don't want to go through this tribulation. The seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and now here we are, the last judgments. Man, these are tough things. These are tough judgments. And we have to understand that this is what's coming. This is what's coming. Well, you can be saved now, get raptured, you can get saved during the tribulation. But during the tribulation, it'll be a lot harder. I realize there's a lot of preachers that say, if you're not saved under grace, you can't be saved under law. Listen, no one ever got saved by law. Everybody's always been saved by grace. And you can still be saved. I don't care what they say, they're wrong. The great voices. It's not identified, but I believe that it's the Son of God. When he said it is finished, it is done, Satan's done. Satan's done. He was done on the cross, but now Satan's done. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Salvation, how do you get it? What did he die on the cross for? Did he die on the cross to pay for part of our sins? Or did he die to pay for all of our sins? Why did he die on the cross? He died to pay for all of our sins. Not just partial, but all. Boy, it's something. The number 7 is the number of completeness, the number of fulfillment. And when he says this, this is the final judgment coming upon the earth. Point 2, the great quake. Boy, I tell you, get ready. Get ready. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Man, I tell you what. This is the greatest earthquake that's ever been. You know, recently in Chicago and Illinois, we had this quake. Some of our people acted very strangely. Somehow, most of you that heard it thought it was a snowplow truck hitting your house. Now, I don't know why you thought that, but you did. Pastor Paul, I guess they said he acted kind of strange. He got up and was acting a little bit weird. He's not up here, good thing. The wife and kids said, there was no earthquake, you're having an hallucinating dream. Boy, he was so happy to hear there was a quake. But it was such a small quake, and he thought a snowplow truck had hit his house. Now, why would a snowplow truck hit your house? I don't know, but anyway, that's what he thought. And some of the rest of you had other weird things that happened. One wife said the husband got up and got under the bed, didn't even tell the family. One time we thought a bear was after the Floyds, and Trina got there first and locked the door on her own husband. We act weird in bad times, don't we? You tell who really loves the other one. She loves her husband. I just joke. Daniel 12:1, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Who's Michael? Our archangel. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, standeth for the children of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and thy people shall be delivered. Everyone shall be found written in the book. That's found written in the book. Boy, I tell you. You know, John speaks of this event like it's already happened. It's future. It's a future event, but he looks into the future, but he reports it in past tense. He sees it as certain. Oh, there's people that say, I don't believe that stuff. Do you really believe that stuff? Boy, they don't like it. The senator today said that he's got a friend that wants to do a film on the tribulation. Man, that would be a tough film, wouldn't it? Be good to have a good one, though, wouldn't it? Well, here we are. You know, we say, east is east and west is west. Never shall the twain meet. But boy, during this earthquake, they'll meet. I wonder what the Richter scale will read. If they could even get in any TV sets or even working. I bet 11, 12, 20, 30, 50. Can you imagine? Oh, I don't think they'll be on TV. They won't be reporting because they won't have anything. Any mics, because the mics have split apart. Their mics won't work either. The great city, you know, it's talking about, anytime you see it says split in three, that means total destruction. Total destruction. It's in parts. Man, can you imagine? I can't. See, all that Babylon represents is all those that have hated God, hated Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're all sinners. We're saved. But we still have to fight that, don't we? We have to fight that. You know, the only way you're going to win is don't give it any place. Someone says, how do I get, you know, someone's in pornography. How do you get rid of it? Don't give it a place to see it. If you're into it. I can't imagine being in it, but if you are, get it out. You're going to ruin your family for something that's a bunch of sluts? Come on. You're going to wreck your family? And don't you get so tired of hearing these people going, well, I just don't love my either spouse, husband, wife. I just don't have the love. You know what love is? Love is serving the other person. And it doesn't always work out right. You know, these couples want to get married, and they say, man, I can't wait to get married, and we're going to live in bliss. Well, that bliss might be bliss, but it's not going to be bliss if you think it's bliss is why you're getting married. You got my point, right? There's a lot more times that you don't have bliss that you better learn, and you better just decide, hey, I'm going to keep this marriage because I'm going to serve the other person. I get so sick of those things. Now, there's situations you can't help. I understand that. There's divorced people that couldn't help it, and they're the innocent victim, and there is innocent victims. I don't agree with some of these people who say, no, we're no innocent victims. No, there's innocent victims. I understand that. Listen, you just, well, the love is gone. What do you mean the love is gone? You know, the Bible only talks about love in the sense of being a servant. It's the only way it talks about it. Okay, now let's get ready for this one. Are you ready? Point three, on the sins of man. Boy, this is an earthquake, man. Revelation 16, 20 through 21. Every island fled away. The mountains were not found. So here's number one. Don't live on an island and don't live on a mountain. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone, the weight of a talent. Now, I read everything on this. I mean, I read 100 pounds, one was as high as 180 pounds. I don't know. It's at least 100 pounds. Man, that's tough stuff. You know, certain times a part of an airplane will fall off and go through a house. Can you imagine hail going through homes from the attic to the basement. You know, one time we had some people and we had our camp up in Minnesota and lightning struck and it went through the roof. It went through the attic. It went through the kitchen. It all the way down to the crawl space. And the people were sitting within 5 feet of it. Boy, that's a close call. Man, they've been sitting right there. Guess who would have gone through it? Super Bowl 7 of the wrath of God, right? This one will be remembered. See, the people blaspheme God. You think they'd want to go to God, but there's no fear of God. You know, today, there's no fear of God. Our schools, there's no fear of God. Not most of them. Some of them, there still is. But most of them, there's not. Some people are still doing a good job, but most of them aren't. They've given up. They followed the crowd. They followed the crowd that doesn't believe God and they're afraid to speak up. God strikes, and it's awful. It's horrible. See, the devil ends up being the instrument of God's hands, and he brings destruction upon the very people that followed him. How about Romans 2:4? Or despise us out of the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. You know, all the bad's not going to get a person to say, it's his goodness. It's his goodness. He's dealing with us now in goodness. During the tribulation, he's going to be dealing in sternness. If God didn't restrain now, you wouldn't be able to go out and have a nice meal after church. You wouldn't be able to do anything. Showed all those that had been martyred. Satan made them look like losers. The Christians during the tribulation period couldn't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, without the mark on their forehead or on their hand. Boy, we're seeing that coming, wouldn't it? Boy, I tell you, with all the consumer fraud and all the stuff, and if they could put a chip in you and put something in your head, and the only way they could steal it would be cut your head off. You know, that would look kind of weird, going to the grocery, holding someone's head and running it through. Wow. Wow. See, we're talking the grace of God. Grace is receiving something we don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving something as bad as we deserve. And justice is receiving exactly what we deserve. I don't want to receive what I deserve, do you? I don't want to receive it. I don't want to receive it. Right now, heaven and hell stands in the balance. And these pages in this Bible can mean the difference whether you go to hell forever or heaven forever. You know, I was raised the son of a Methodist preacher. And I love my daddy. Oh, he was such a good daddy. Can't wait to see him. But I never ever heard the gospel. One time at the University of Kentucky, some friends came and they shared with me the gospel, the first time I'd ever heard it. The reason we have these verses, if you look at my right and your left, the reason we have them on our wall is because these are the verses they shared with me. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, he put that in there for the Missouri people, the show me state. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we don't need that because it's already said it's through faith, that not of yourselves, you can't earn your salvation. It is a gift of God, a gift of something you don't earn. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's for the Missouri people. I mean that in a complimentary way. It's a show me state. But there's a lot of truth to that. They want to be shown, and that's how I am. And I want to know. But that shows it to me. That's in all the Bibles. It's in the Protestant and the Catholic Bibles. The Catholic Bible actually has it a little better. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And then it says about the same way. It's a gift. It's a gift. How do you receive a gift? You just take it. It's a gift. Give me the gift. A gift's a gift. Salvation, there's no works involved. It's a gift from God. Now let me show you this
illustration, which we were talking before the service, and this billfold represents sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. To go to heaven, you've got to be sinless. There's not a person in this room that's sinless. Anybody here sinless? Nobody. To go to heaven, you've got to be sinless. You can't even have one sin. We've all stolen something. Yes, we have. I was telling the other day how someone gives me a pen, I just put it in my pocket. I don't mean to steal it. But I can hardly get in my office anymore because I've got to dig the pens out. I don't mean to do it. I don't steal anything but pens. But that won't get you to heaven because pen stealers don't go to heaven unless someone else came and took the place of the pen stealer or whatever you've done. This hand right here, and I mean it reverently, represents the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he, God, hath made him Christ, who knew no sin. Now, he never kept a pen or accidentally kept a donkey or a camel. He never did anything wrong. He who knew no sin. Now, let's watch this now. This is right out of 2 Corinthians 5:21. Was made sin for us. So he takes our sin. He was made sin. On the cross, when he hung there, what was he doing? He was paying for the sins of the world. Past, present, future, everybody. But we have to accept it. Majority of people don't accept it. Majority of people say, well, my church and Christ will get me to heaven. No. You can be the best Baptist that ever lived. You can be a member of every Baptist church, every Catholic church, Presbyterian, Methodist church. It doesn't matter. You can be a member of all of them, and it won't get you to heaven. Not until you realize that Christ takes all of our sins, and he paid for it on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, and the third day rose again, showing it had been paid. For God so loved the world, that you or me with our sin, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good? He paid our sin debt, and if he paid it, we don't have to.
For more information about our ministry or additional resources, please visit victoryingrace.org or call 1-800-78-GRACE.